The federal agency at the head of the response to Ebola is suffering a crisis of confidence. Only 37% of the public is confident in the response by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, according to a CBS News poll that was done before yesterday's announcement of a case in New York City. Tom Shoups, editor-in-chief at Government Executive Magazine, he says the agency needs to create a culture of accountability. I mean, to be fair, I agree with you, Tom, first of all. But secondly, it strikes me that every agency should be working toward creating that culture of accountability. Some of them appear to be more successful than others. You think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's right. That's certainly what every federal agency should strive for and what an agency like CDC used to be very good at. In a way, at least they had a very high rating by the public and appeared to have a very strong culture. There seems to have been somewhat of a downward turn this year, sort of sharply, in CDC's management and culture, and now they're getting a little bit of a black eye. But the jury's still out. You know, they still could come out of this whole thing looking pretty good, and we're, of course, right in the middle of the Ebola response, so it's really hard to judge how they're overall response will be at this point.
I heard a conversation with a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal who typically is not friendly to people who work for the federal government or especially to the federal government as a whole. And this person was talking about the remarkable changes that CDC had taken since the original discussion about Ebola coming to the United States and how we should deal with it. And just essentially saying that they adapted very well and that they made procedural changes when they saw what they were doing was not working. And that's not something typically that we see, unfortunately, with people at agencies. The head in the GovExec story that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com admitting October 14th, the government's point agency battling the Ebola threat could have been more hands-on with the hospital that handled the first case. You know, a lot of people see that as an admission of, well, what they had done up to that point was not good. I mean, I guess you could look at it the other way, too, and say at least they admitted their mistake and made it obvious that they were willing and desiring to change the way they were handling things. I don't know what more you could really ask for.
Well, I suppose you could ask for it to be perfect from the get-go.
Yeah, right.
And I think that tends to be the standard that people take in these, especially in these extreme circumstances, that they want their government to be functioning perfectly in response to things that are very serious crises. But, and I think, you know, by the CDC's own admission, they didn't have a great, there were some issues in the initial response. And I think, quite frankly, they probably didn't anticipate all that well that an Ebola case would turn up at a random hospital in Texas to start this whole process in motion. But I think that's right, that ultimately they'll be judged on how well the overall response was and how well they adjusted and adapted. And the jury is very much still out on that. And they seem to be really doing things much better over the past week or so. And they had CDC people at the hospital last night, according to what the New York City officials were saying last night. There were CDC personnel there when that doctor was admitted last night.
The case of the doctor in New York City is, to me, one of the most amazing things that will probably come out of the whole Ebola conversation when we deconstruct it, Tom. This is a guy who was over there treating people as part of Doctors Without Borders, because of the perception that organizations like the World Health Organization weren't pulling their weight, and Doctors Without Borders was just there doing stuff instead of talking about it. This poor guy goes over to help treat people and winds up getting it himself. I think when we look back on this, he'll be one of the heroes of this. Your story in GovExec,
right, and
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say he's taking a lot of heat from some corners right now for people saying, why wasn't he self-quarantining for 21 days? And, you know, that's a lot to ask of somebody to both volunteer to go over and treat Ebola patients and deal directly with it and then come back and forego whatever income they might be, you know, trying to get in this country for another 21 days while they can't leave in their apartment.
Well, and you know what? This isn't where I was going to go, but that parallels to me what we hear the folks that we cover in the federal government put up with on a lot of occasions. You know, it's, if you do one thing, you get hammered, and if you do the other thing, you get hammered. And you, it's almost as though you can't try to do the right thing without getting beaten up for it.
Right, and somebody at all times is questioning your motive,
yep.
It seems, lately, that no matter which way you go in response to something, that there's somebody out there saying that's just completely the wrong thing to do, and you have the wrong motivations and incentives for even doing what you're doing. Why are you even thinking of doing it the way you're doing it? And that's really a sort of modern day reaction to the way government operates. And also, there is just this expectation that government, the standard is that government should perform perfectly and solve these problems immediately as soon as they, I mean, I think in the public consciousness, there's this sense that the CDC should just be able to put a stop to Ebola and stop it from coming to the United States and not have it be a problem. And anything short of that is viewed, you know, immediately you get people calling for the resignation of the head of the CDC, like day one.
Well, and what we've talked about before, Tom, this isn't new, but and again, this isn't the way I was going to go with our conversation, but this turns into an impugning of motives, too, that I don't understand when or how we made that transition. That somehow when somebody makes a mistake, that it's automatically assumed they did it on purpose for some unknown reason.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I think it happened in tandem with the country getting more driven to extremes politically, and generally, you know, and Congress getting more divisive politically, and there being less bipartisanship and more of an echo chamber where people tend to hear things that reinforce their worldview and their political view, and that involves questioning the motives of people on the other side all the time. Now, in the case of many of these, you know, scandals involving government lately, and the CDC Ebola response certainly isn't a scandal. It may just be perceived as not as effective as it might be. But in many of these scandals, there have been people across the political spectrum who say this is just general incompetence, and that's sort of a different thing.
Yeah, your story in GovExec says investigations of potentially dangerous violations of protocol actually have been conducted on the CDC going back to at least 2008 under the George W. Bush administration, leaving some in the infectious disease and bioterrorism field to believe that CDC management has serious cultural challenges. Richard Ebright, a Rutgers University chemist and molecular biologist, quoted in your story saying there are no consequences for failure at CDC. There's a documentation in your story about some of the challenges CDC's been up against. I guess I wonder at what point it's fair to, or even if there's a way to determine metrics-wise whether incidents are isolated or related to some kind of a cultural issue. Is there a way to determine
that?
It's
really hard to measure cultural problems.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of these things tend to come down to, is there some problem? There seems to have been, prior to the whole Ebola outbreak, a genuine issue at the agency this year with safety protocols and handling of infectious material. And that, you know, it's very hard to get to the bottom of those kind of things. Are they budget issues? Are they training issues? Are they culture issues? And at a certain point, if they're systemic, if they seem to happen over and over again, then you have to say there's got to be something wrong in the culture. And that's, of course, what people are saying about agencies like the Secret Service. Like, they just can't seem to get out of having the same sort of problems come up again and again. But it becomes very difficult to assess that. It's not the kind of thing that you really can just easily measure.
The concept of all of this, Tom, is should be contextual too, it seems to me. We don't have any idea whether private sector research organizations, NGOs, nonprofits, academia that are doing research along the lines of what CDC is doing are having these same kinds of problems or not, do we? I don't know of any contextual information to let us know whether CDC is any better or worse than other organizations in these areas. I mean, I understand that there's not likely to be many organizations working with anthrax and Ebola and those kinds of things, but certainly there are very high-stakes instances where research is being done in the private sector, in academia, and the nonprofit world that are just as critical as the kinds of things that CDC is working with, right?
Yeah, there certainly are. And again, it's very difficult, I think, to benchmark those kind of things because there are relatively few people involved in this kind of work. And it's very, I'm sure, very difficult to do. That said, I think you can make a case that if the agency that ought to be the best in the world at these kind of things should be the CDC. And they should be better than any other organization. And that may not be holding them to too high a standard. It may be holding them to a high standard. But if someone's going to get held to a high standard in terms of handling infectious disease, it's got to be CDC.
Yeah, there's a difference, though, between a high standard and zero defects, isn't there?
Yeah, although when it comes to something like infectious disease, you almost have to have a zero-defect standard.
Well, certainly that's the goal. I mean, and that's everybody's goal is zero defects. But we're dealing with human beings, and you can put protocol after protocol after protocol in place and training after training after training, and we've seen with cybersecurity that that's not what it comes down to. It comes down to the individual person and the least trained and least educated or least willing to listen to the training and education that they've received is the weakest link in the chain, which winds up being where your vulnerability is. But it doesn't have as much to do with the training and accountability and culture and so on as it does with that weakest link, it seems to me.
Yeah. That's certainly true that your organization is no better than the weakest link in it, which makes it all the more important that you try to have every link be as strong as it can possibly be. And the question with the CDC, I think the question that really hasn't been answered yet is have they had just a couple of instances where things were clearly not handled the way they should have been. Or do they have a systemic, cultural, or budgetary, or whatever problem? And that, really, we don't have the answer to yet.
I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you that when Congress comes back in January, there will be hearings about how the CDC handled this. You want to take that bet?
I will. I'll take that and raise it. I think it'll happen more than once before Congress.
No, I'm going to take the side officially that there's going to be hearings. I'm going to give you no hearings.
Oh, no. No, thanks.
All right. I don't blame you. Tom Shoup's editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine. You can read what his colleague Charlie Clark is writing about CDC linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Thanks, as always, my friend.
Great to be with you.